This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Back to Business is our ongoing project focusing on smaller businesses moving forward from the pandemic. In the morning, we're focusing on firms run by Black people, Indigenous people, people of color. Eighth Generation is a retailer that had to close its Seattle store early in the pandemic, but blossomed online. It features wool blankets and other items produced by Native artists. In 2019, Eighth Generation was purchased by the Snoqualmie Indian Tribe, which runs a larger slate of business and investments in the Pacific Northwest. We reached out to Louis Gong, Eighth Generation's founder, who remains at the helm as CEO.
I am a Native artist, and when I first started making art, I realized there were a huge number of barriers between me and consumers. And the business really developed as a way to address those barriers. So at Eighth Generation, we work 100% of the time with Native artists. And our goal is to reclaim the narrative about Native people that gets presented through business by telling true stories.
Telling true stories, you know, as an expression of the work that the artists do who help create the products that you sell.
Yeah, one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that for hundreds of years, almost all the products featuring Native art that have been sold have fake Native art on them. And every one of those pieces of fake Native art has a fake story to go with it. So as a Native person who grew up in their community, you can imagine how frustrating it has been over the course of a lifetime, even generations, to watch these fake stories most of the time. Stories that confirm stereotypes that consumers already have when they walk in the door. And what Eighth Generation wants to do, in addition to pursuing regular types of currencies, like, you know, a business has to make money, we also pursue currencies like reclaiming the narrative about our own people. And for us, it's really important to make as many opportunities for Native artists as possible, because Native artists for centuries have been marginalized and blocked from participating in the commerce around products.
So more than a decade after you started this, you sold the company to the Snoqualmie tribe. Would you stayed on as CEO?
That's right. You know, I'm very proud to have started off just by drawing on Vans and Converse. Over the course of many years, I built it into one of the fastest growing Native-owned brands in the United States. And last year, I sold it to the Snoqualmie tribe. And that's really important because now decisions at this company will be made by hundreds of local Indigenous people. And to me, that makes me really confident that we're going to make values-based decisions into the future.
So you figure out a way with bringing in the Snoqualmie tribe of bringing in scale, the ability to get bigger while still keeping it Native-focused.
Yeah. You know, when I look in the mirror, I see, wow, we're really big. But the reality is that we're still really small and we have a long ways to go. And so by selling the business to the Snoqualmie tribe, we've sort of put some muscle behind the hustle. And that's really important as we scale up and start to really compete with larger companies that have been around for a long time.
And a connected issue is, as people become more focused on issues such as social justice, avoiding cultural appropriation, you're noticing that other brands without, for instance, Native ownership are trying to get in on the action?
Yeah, we've seen a growing number of larger non-Native companies copy Eighth Generation's talking points. And sometimes it's very egregious. Like, for example, our tagline is Inspired Natives, not Native Inspired. And we see companies using variations on that, like Inspired Indigenous, not Indigenous Inspired. And so what that tells us is that it's a marketing effort and not something that's the result of true values. And historically, a Native-owned business getting some traction would have had no recourse to stop this from happening. But because we're connected to the tribe, we have the legal might to sort of hold space for the very first time.
There also may be a responsibility for consumers to also have their eyes open about this.
Yeah. You know, I would truly appreciate for any listeners here to think about that next time they're considering whether or not to buy something. If you could give us 30 seconds of your time to investigate whether there's real substance behind the brand that you're thinking about purchasing from, that would truly benefit brands like Eighth Generation.
Now, let's back up here on the pandemic. So your story is getting out there. Consumers are coming. But like virtually every business story I do, there's this line. Pandemic hits. And things initially for you don't look especially good, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, if you could imagine, eighth generation has been growing at a really fast clip year after year. In 2020, we had planned to be our biggest year ever. And it was a sad day in March that we had to close the doors. We had to stop all of these really exciting new initiatives and really focus on what was important to the essence of the brand. And for us, that was the people. And so we froze ordering new inventory. We froze new hires. We froze infrastructure development. And we were really scared. We were very fortunate that around May of 2020, things started to pick up. And it was during that time that we started to focus on our online storytelling and ultimately coming out at the end of 2020, having had our best year ever.
I mean, how did you pull this off? Because you froze inventory. You weren't buying new stuff initially in the pandemic. Yet with Black Lives Matter and you telling your story better online, you had all these customers. It takes a while for people to produce the stuff that you sell.
Yeah. Eighth Generation specializes in wool blankets. And whether we're making them in-house, as we started to do at the end of last year, or producing them elsewhere, it takes months and months to produce a blanket from design to being ready to send to consumers. So what that meant is that the pause in reordering product really hurt us during the holiday season. And, you know, by the beginning of December, we were sold out of about 70% of our products. So although we had a great year, it probably would have been a lot better had we not had to freeze orders for several months during the time that we would have been reordering for the holiday season. But, you know, growing up in a Native community, you know, one thing that we're really good at is learning how to respond in a crisis. And what I found is that our staff didn't really panic, you know. And around the end of April, we heard that local healthcare clinics did not have enough PPE. And because 8th Generation for years had been sourcing product, we were able to source 13,000 pieces of PPE and then deliver them to local healthcare clinics in just over 8 days. And that's something that the federal and state governments couldn't do.
Well, I mean, we remember what it was like back in April of 2020, and you did this in essentially a week.
Yeah, and that was a strong reinforcement that investing in our own capacity is the right way to go. And I believe that support that we provided the community came back to us tenfold.
Think it's sustainable? I mean, it's not just a feature of the summer of 2020 when people are rethinking where they're spending their dollar and trying to think about honoring businesses that are Black owned or owned by people of color?
Well, what we have learned during the pandemic is that we can be confident in consumers' interest in doing the right thing. We found that people were paying a lot closer attention to whether or not the way they used their money was reinforcing their values or undermining their values. And I think that's sustainable beyond the pandemic, beyond this rush to support businesses owned by people of color.
Louis Gong is the founder and CEO of 8th Generation. He's a member of the Nooksack tribe and was raised in the tribal community. Mr. Gong, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.